Mr. Kevin Burke and friends. That's from the album Play On by Celtic Fiddle Festival, which was put out after the sad loss of one of their members, Mr. Johnny Cunningham. And the remaining members carried on, and the lineup, that's changed on and off over the years. That album's about 5 years old. But at this point, it was Kevin Burke, Christian Lemaitre, André Bounet, and on guitar, Jed Foley, who also works with Kevin in Patrick Street. Well, we hope to have Kevin live here in a few minutes, and in the meantime, let's take a listen to a live solo Kevin album that came out back in about 1999 on Green Linnet Records. This is Bonnie Kate and Jenny's Chickens. Mr. Kevin Burke live there, recorded back in the late 90s from an album called In Concert that came out on Green Linnet Records. We heard Bonnie Kate and Jenny's Chickens. So Kevin Burke is a fiddle player of some considerable renown who first got famous in Irish music circles for his recordings with the Bothy Band back in the 1970s. And since that time, he has gone on to do many other wonderful things, including Patrick Street and the Celtic Fiddle Orchestra. And we are going to take a listen to a track he recorded now with Bioga. It's from his current album. The album's called Sweet. The track is called The Rabbit's Ear, The Stirabout Road, and Kiss the Bride. Thank you. traveling at the moment, traveling back to your home base of Portland?
That's right, yeah. I've been down in the Bay Area for a few days.
Playing some concerts?
Yeah, mainly it was a teaching weekend, but I gave a little concert last night, which was a lot of fun.
So I gather you've been touring with the Celtic Fiddle Festival in recent times also?
Yeah, that just finished earlier this week.
How long were you traveling with those lads?
Probably about 10, 12 days.
10 or 12 days.
Yeah, fairly short tour, but we had a good time. It was great to see them all again. And
so how often do you tour with the various different groups? Because you're in so many different groups, it's hard to keep track.
No. Well, Patrick Street and the Celtic Fiddles, because we're scattered so far on two different continents, we don't play more than about once a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'd call us a group, but Cal Scott and myself, we play together
Absolutely. A
lot more regularly since we're both living in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, Open House got together again. You know, we hadn't played together for about 12 years, I think.
Goodness.
But we got together again a few months ago and played some concerts in California. And in a few weeks, we're doing a few in the Northwest, with Portland, Seattle, that kind of thing. So between all that and my solo work, I'm pretty busy most of the time.
Well, excellent. It's not a bad thing to complain about. Let's take a listen to a track from the new album, Sweet, that you recorded with Cal. Now, I understand that in a couple of tracks, you took advantage of the lads from Bioga and got them on board as well.
Yeah. I met Bioga 4 or 5 years ago. We did a tour together in Germany, and I was really taken with them as great musicians and a great bunch of people, you know, and I really enjoyed their kind of approach to the music. You know, they take the music really seriously, but they don't take themselves very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of fun with the music and a lot of great energy. So when Cal and I were putting this record together, we broached the subject with Bjorga, saying, would you be interested in playing on a few tracks? And they were delighted with the idea, so it was great. And we have a couple of tracks with different members, and then there's one track with almost the whole band on it, I think.
Okay.
So that worked out well.
Well, let's take a listen now to The Rabbit's Ear, The Stirabout Road, and Kiss the Bride. Thank you. So if I had to guess there, I'd say that you enjoyed that, playing with Bjoge, playing with that new energy, the young energy there of a group. Obviously, we were very influenced by groups like the Bhati Band, which you were a big part of many years ago.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy them a lot. It was great, I respect them a lot, you know. I enjoy them a lot, but at the same time, I admire what they're doing. I think they're great players, you know.
So you predict good things for them in the future?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I think their traditional credentials are impeccable, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they're not at all afraid to experiment and try things that are, you know, pretty unusual, and at the same time, they maintain this great lightheartedness about it all, which I really like, you know.
Well, speaking of experimenting, your current album with Cal is called Sweet, and the centerpiece of it is essentially the Irish Session Suite, which is more or less traditional tunes arranged for a string quartet.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So how did that idea come up?
Well, it's been lurking at the back of my mind for years and years, and I was talking with Cal one day about it, and he said, oh, I'd love to try something like that. And I said, really? Well, let's have a go. Because Cal's a great arranger, you know, but he'd never done anything with a string quartet. So we came up with this idea of doing some arrangements of traditional tunes for the classic string quartet setup, two mm-hmm. violins, viola and cello.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take the role of the lead violin, playing the traditional stuff, you know, mm-hmm. the traditional material.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd write a score for the second violin, the viola and the cello, so that they could play in their own style. We didn't want them to try and pretend they were fiddlers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We want no compromises. I'd play my way and they'd play their way. But we thought, with the score, we should be able to find a way of making their moves and their kind of vernacular fit with ours. Now, we weren't sure it would work, but we suspected it would. And the more we experimented, the more we were convinced, yeah, this, we can do this, you know, we can do this. And finally, we had to modify it here and there. We had a couple of rehearsals with some great classical players in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after the rehearsal, we'd go back and we'd rework certain things and rethink certain things. And then, you know, a month later, we'd get together again and say, how is that working? And how does it work for you? What would make it easier for you? Or we were asking them to give us feedback,
right.
You know, and just, again, from their point of view, we weren't asking them to assess the traditional aspects or anything. Just from a pure musical point of view, what feels awkward, what feels clumsy, what... And, you know, over time, we spent about 6 or 8 months at it, you know, mm-hmm. and over time, we came up with what you hear on the record, and we thought it was... You know, a pretty good example of showing how the two styles can actually live side by side and complement each other, you know.
Well, let's take a listen to perhaps The Air, The Pretty Girl Milking Her Cow. What can you tell us about the selection of that particular one for the third movement?
Well, again, we wanted to do a suite, you know, which generally means, well, it can mean anything, a collection of music. And, you know, to the traditional people, we thought we'd have a set of jigs, a set of reels, a hornpipe, and an air.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we had to find tunes that we thought would bring out the best of the classical sounds also. And I suggested this one to Cal, Colleen Jess Groovinamo, or The Pretty Girl Making a Cow. It's an air I remember playing as a child. And I presented it to Cal, and I said, do you think you could work with this, you know? And he said, I think so. This sounds like just the right thing. It's fairly light. It's very pretty. There's room here for the quartet style that we're trying to incorporate. So, again, we had a shot at it, and this is what we came up with.
Thank you.
And that was The Pretty Girl Milking Her Cow, part of the Irish Session Suite from the current album Suite by Kevin Burke and Cal Scott. Are you there, Kevin?
Yep, still here, John.
So that's lovely. Now, you tell me that you're thinking of actually taking that on the road a little bit?
Yeah, that's our plan. We've performed it a few times in Portland with local musicians, the musicians who helped us put it together.
Mm-hmm.
But our plan is to play with local musicians wherever we might travel to. So we can, we can send the score ahead and they can rehearse it privately, and then we'll show up and we'll all go through it together and then perform it, and hopefully it'll work like a charm.
Well, we have a perfect
plan anyway.
We have many, many wonderful locations you could do that in Atlanta, but I don't know if you've ever played in Spivey Hall. That would be a spectacular place to do that.
Yeah, in fact, I played in Spivey Hall not too long ago with Patrick's team.
That's right.
But, we'd love to do it. The plan is to do a Kevin Burke and Cal Scott show and incorporate the suite as part of the show. And, of course, the interesting thing is Cal, who did the arrangements, he doesn't play violin, viola, or cello, so he actually had to write himself out of it. So we'll give him part of the night off.
We
have a few other things that we can play with the classical musicians and Cal. The things that aren't on the record, we have a few others prepared.
And you do hope you'll get to Georgia maybe in 2011?
Yeah, I'd love to get down there and give this an airing.
Because I think we've been fortunate. We've caught you a few times in recent years. You've obviously played with Patrick Street, as you mentioned, at Spivey. You played at Eddie's Attic a few years ago, and then a house
That's
concert
right.
more recently.
Yeah.
So we can't complain, but we would love to see you back in the near future. Now, funny.
Anyone who might, anyone who's got an interest in the suite concert, tell them to give us a shout. We'd love to get down there.
Excellent. Now, when I look back at your career, it's not just that you have been in all these bands. You are currently in just about every band you've ever been in, with the possible exception of the Bothy Band. And I have to wonder how you manage to change hats and play in these, with these different groups like Open House and the Celtic Fiddle Orchestra. But then you are the man who put out an album called If the Cap Fits, and they all seem to fit you. So how do you do it?
I don't know, really. In a way, I think it's the only way I can function, because I think if I was stuck in any one format, I'd get fed up with it pretty quick and I'd feel trapped, none of the bands play like an orthodox group that's traveling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just pick a certain time of the year, and we say, right, we'll do 3 weeks or a month, we'll say June next year, mm-hmm. with this band, and we'll just leave it at that. If there's enough work to occupy us in June, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes up with a suggestion for May or July, we'll say, sorry, we're only playing in June,
All right.
And it means we have to turn down a lot of things, but on the other hand, it really does help to keep it fresh, and we're always delighted to see each other and carry on. When you're seeing the same guys day after day, month after month, traveling in the van together,
mm-hmm.
it often gets a bit jaded, and the music gets jaded, and everyone gets fed up with each other.
Sure, well, that's understandable. But I mean, when you step onto the stage, do you have to stop and think, who am I tonight? Which band am I in? What style do I play in?
Usually, I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Usually, we have it a few days at least to kind of get in the right frame of mind and get the music together. I don't usually enter the stage cold. Walk away from last night. I was with Patrick Street. Tomorrow night, I'm
right.
with Open House. It's usually a few days where we can all play together and run over the material and mm-hmm. rehearse and kind of get in the right frame of mind.
So now, when you started playing in London, obviously your parents were both Irish, is that correct?
they were. They're both from Sligo.
Both from Sligo. So the Sligo style was what you grew up with. As you've matured as a musician over the decades, would you still describe yourself as exclusively Sligo style?
Not at all. Not at all. A lot of people do, but and I, you know, I'm too well mannered to correct them. But actually, I. You know, the basis of my style came from Sligo, but I've been involved with so many other types of music and absorbed so many other styles. Even in London, when I was growing up, you know, I was listening to Donegal players and Clare players and fellas from Kerry, and you know, I was soaking up as much as I could. Mm-hmm. So all these other things got in the way. So it's definitely not. I'm definitely not a purist or a purest example of any particular style. But I have to say, I am going back to Sligo in a few weeks. So I'm excited about being asked to be a judge at the Fiddler of Dooney competition, which is happening in October.
Excellent.
So that's. I'll have to get my Sligo hat on for that.
There you will. Now, over the last 30, 35 years, what fiddlers, perhaps younger than yourself, have you heard who've really inspired you or made you turn your head?
Younger than me?
People you've heard, you know, that you wouldn't have heard growing up.
I'd say probably, Mountain Hayes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Cuivín O'Rahilly.
Mm-hmm.
There's Tommy Peoples' daughter, Siobhan.
Uh-huh.
I have great time for her music. And there's a whole, every time I go to Ireland, I'm shocked by how many great young players are coming up. Oisín from Teda.
Right.
I'm a big fan of his playing. But of course, he's a Sligo man too, so I suppose I'm naturally biased towards him. John Carty, big, you know, he plays with us in Patrick Street.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a similar history to mine. You know, he grew up in London.
Mm-hmm.
His father was from Roscommon,
mm-hmm.
which isn't exactly Sligo, but musically speaking, it's in the same.
Yeah, there's been a lot of cross pollination there over the years.
So he was heavily influenced by the same kind of music I was, and. We always have a good time when we get together. I love his fiddle playing, and his banjo playing, and his flute playing, and his jokes.
And his jokes. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're about to catch a flight, and
I have to race to the airport.
To the airport. Well, thank you for taking the time to call us down here.
You're very welcome, John. Thank you.
We're looking forward to getting you back here possibly next year, and we're going to. Play you out here with O'Carolan's Concerto and Loftus Jones from the Celtic Fiddle Festival. And we wish you well on your various travels, and good luck at the Fiddler of Dooney.
Thanks,
and hopefully we'll see you in 2011.
All right. Good man. Thanks a million. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Would you like to find new sources of money for your nonprofit work? Atlanta Fulton Public Library's Central Library will be offering hands-on training in how to use the database Foundation Directory Online. Training will be held on Thursday, October 7, 2010, from 2 to 3 p.m. The location is the fourth floor computer lab of Central Library at 1 Margaret Mitchell Square, just outside of Peachtree Center MARTA station in downtown Atlanta. The program is open to the public, but seating is limited. The number to register is 404-880-0095, and participants must arrive on time. That's the Atlanta Fulton Public Library's Central Library offering hands-on training on how to use database Foundation Directory Online to find needed sources of funding for your nonprofit work. For more information, the contact person is Kathy Pacelli at 404-730-1914 or email kathy.pacelli@fultoncountyga.gov. kathy.pacelli@fultoncountyga.gov. This is a public service announcement brought to you by your listener-supported community radio, WRFG 89.3 FM, your station for progressive information.
Shipyard. hearts and lips lie empty. For I've served my time with the Iron Man. I've known good times and work plenty, but there's no work now in these troubled times, and the shipyard's lips lie.
Thank you.
Crestant from Wales, from their album, just called Crestant. And it's on Sign Records, and the tracks, we heard two tracks there. We heard that the slow one was called Good Humoured and Fairly Tipsy, and the last one was The Fairy Glen. We started off with Kevin Burke and friends with the Celtic Fiddle Festival, playing O'Carolan's Concerto, and in between we heard John Doyle with a little help from Karen Casey from their album Exile's Return. An interesting song called The Shipyard Slips. Okay, we have about 15 minutes to go. We hope you enjoyed Kevin Burke, and we hope that he does come to play soon in Atlanta again. With all those different groups he plays in, and surely one of them will tour here in 2011. We certainly hope so. And if we're very lucky, we might get the suite played with local chamber musicians. Let's go back now to the west of Ireland and take a listen to another song from Mairead Ní Flaherty.
More. He was stranded in a tiny town on fair Prince Edward Island. He was waiting for a ship to come and find him. A one-horse place, a friendly face, some coffee, and a tiny trace of fiddling in the distance far behind him. And a dime across the counter then, a shy hello, a brand new friend, a walk along the street in the wintry weather. A yellow light, an open door, and a welcome friend, there's room for more than they're standing there inside together. He said, I've heard that tune before somewhere, but I can't remember when. Was it on some other friendly shore? Did I hear it in the wind? Was it written on the sky above? I think I heard it from someone I love, but I've never heard it sound so sweet since then. And now his feet begin to tap, and a little boy says, I'll take your hat. And he's caught up in the magic of her smile. And leave the heart within him then, and off across that floor he sent his clumsy body, graceful as a child. He said, there's magic in that fiddle, and there's magic in this town. There's magic in the dancers' feet and the way they put them down. People smiling everywhere, boots and ribbons and locks of hair, laughter, old blue suits and Easter gowns. The sailor is gone, the room is bare, the old piano's sitting there, someone's hat's left hanging on the rack. There's an empty chair and a wooden floor that feels the touch of shoes no more, just waiting for the dancers to come back. And that fiddle's in the closet of some daughter of the town. Its strings are broke, the bow is gone and the cover's buttoned down. But sometimes on December nights, when the air is cold and the wind is right, there's a melody that passes through the town.
That was Mr. Hank Kramer, all the way from the state of Washington, and a song called The Ballad of St. Anne's Reel. And we started off with Mairéadh Ní Flaherty from the west of Ireland, a track from her album An Chéan Taobh From Both Sides, which is available on CIC Records. We're going to leave you with an interesting track, and it's going to actually be a tip-off as to something we're going to do next week. Joe Durain is a legendary Boston squeezebox player, accordion player. He has not been active throughout his entire career. He was famous in the 40s and 50s, took several decades off, and astonishingly came back about 15 years ago to wide acclaim, and is quite the powerhouse of accordion playing, button accordion playing. We have a new album of his. He's recorded with John McGann. It's called Grove Lane, which I think is the address at which he lives in Boston. And since his last album, his wife passed away, and he has a lovely track here in memory of her called Waltzing with Anne. And we are going to say goodbye now, and we'll talk to you next week. And this goes out in memory of Nora, who slipped away from us this past week.